This podcast is intended for mature audiences and discusses topics that may be upsetting. For a full content warning, sources, and resources, please visit the episode notes. Opinions shared by the guests of the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself, Broken Cycle Media, or Wondery. The podcast and any linked materials should not be misconstrued as a substitution for legal or medical advice. Megan Stoner's responses to these allegations are addressed within this season. I'm Tiffany Reese, and this is Something Was Wrong. Last episode, we discussed how Stoner and I made contact while she was in Hamilton County Jail. We'll continue to hear the remainder of my phone calls with Stoner, where she provides comment to her list of allegations. We also met Hannah last episode, a Facebook community member who was in conversation with Stoner's yoni practitioner, Haribo, providing him information about Stoner's crimes. Here's Hannah.
July 6th. Haribo texted me at like 1:30 in the morning and said, "Hi, Hannah. I'm reaching out to ask if you can provide any more info about the situation with Megan. I'm still working with Megan and I asked her permission to reach out to you. She asked that I text you. Sometimes I do find it difficult to trust Megan, and so I wanted to get more info about the fraud situation. She tells me that she just made a mistake in thinking she could sublease her apartment. And when she found out that she couldn't, she paid back the people who she was involved with. Is there more to the story? Why is there such hate against her? I've seen some of the posts that people have made and the hate mail that some people have sent to her. Can you please share with me any insight / info that you have about this situation? Thank you." And that's when I had the 45-page long public records request ready to go for him. I said, "I hope you're doing well. This is a document of police reports involving Megan in some capacity. It includes times she has called the police and times the police have been called on her. She's lying to you when she says this is some misunderstanding. She intentionally stole money from people who were already in bad places to begin with. She caused one lady to be homeless, but this is just the tip of the iceberg. After she was bailed out of jail, she went ahead and filed a police report against you for sexual assault. I believe it was because you were asking her to catch up on her payments. This is a common tactic of hers. She has wrongfully accused many people of sexual assault, resulting in many hours wasted and reputations ruined. You seem like a genuinely kind individual just trying to do your job and make a living. I couldn't sit by and watch her try to destroy you by scamming you out of money and then accusing you of sexual assault so she could get out of paying you." And he said, "The only info I can find on the web is about the rental scam. I'm not finding anything about other scams. I'm really uncertain here. Megan and I are completely up to date with all our payments, and she continues to follow through on submitting payments. The part I feel most unsure about is if she was actually sexually assaulted by Brian Bosma, if she actually is engaged to someone named Jake, and if she is actually friends with Mike Pence. Unsure is the wrong word. I guess I just feel curious to know if it's all true." And I said, "She's not sexually assaulted by Brian Bosma. The person she claimed to be engaged to was found to have only met her once or twice and has a girlfriend, and Mike Pence had staffers dedicated to keeping her away from him. I just sent you a phone call on Facebook Messenger where she agreed to be interviewed, and she admits it's all fake. I'm glad you're paid up to date. The rental scam was the first thing that opened up this can of worms that continues to be investigated, and more has been found and is still being investigated. I want to ask, are you doing okay? Has something happened?" And he said, "I'm good. I'm just at a point where I need to know what's really true so that I can give my fullest energy to supporting Megan. If I don't believe her, then it's hard for me to feel fully aligned in supporting her. And that was July 9th. And I texted back July 11th a screenshot of her Twitter that said, "Ah, nothing like having to file a lawsuit against a professional that broke confidentiality twice. Ugh." I sent him that as just showing this is literally her pattern. Someone else is afraid that she's going to make false accusations. This is when he was receiving all of these text messages from different people. He said that there were 7 numbers. Whenever she was not getting what she wanted, all these important people would start threatening that person. Like, all these different phone numbers would start texting that person, threatening them. That started happening to Harry Bowe. "Hello, Harry, it's Mike. Can I please speak to you? I have Megan's phone. Something happened. This is Mike. I was told to reach out to you. I was told we have some business to sort out. When can you video chat? I'm trying to save you a lawsuit. I only have small windows to text. Hello, do not ignore me. Megan will ruin your career. Would you like some help? Please talk to someone. I am concerned about your well-being. If I don't hear back, I will call the law enforcement in Portugal to find you. There's a phone number named Lauren, a phone number Jake. She gave up everything to work with you. She even had to move out of her townhome. You took thousands from a young woman, left her, and when a relative says she's suicidal, you don't return the text. You know you have a responsibility to get back to Megan. You can't just let her kill herself because of you. Hell, you took $17K from someone that is 25. You need to help Megan. She has no one." He was afraid, and he called her a psycho to me. And I spoke to him and Lavina, his wife. They were afraid that they were about to, like, lose everything that they had over a false sexual assault accusation. I told him I would not speak to anyone that sends these messages. That was my piece of advice, was just screenshot it all and don't respond. And then on September 9th, I texted him and said, "Just wanted to let you know that Megan has finally been arrested. Hopefully your saga with her has come to an end. Hope you and Lavina are well." And he said, "Thank you, Hannah. I appreciate you for letting me know." And that was the end of it with Harry Bowe. He genuinely seems like a good person. He's a hippie. He is out there. But he has this genuineness about him where he's really trying to help. He cares for her. He's giving her the benefit of the doubt in every way, every chance he can. And by the end of it,
he was like, "I'm terrified."
There's really like a 180 on that. And I think that really goes to show just how much she burned him.
How is it already time to start thinking about back to school shopping? As a working parent, I seriously just don't have the energy to run all over town trying to stock up on pantry staples, healthy snacks, lunchbox things. That's the number one thing I love about Thrive Market is that it saves me a trip to the store. I can shop from trusted brands like Primal Kitchen and Simple Mills. Thrive even bans over 1,000 ingredients that are still allowed in U.S. products, which gives a major peace of mind. I also love how quick their shipping is. Take care of your health and your wallet. Thrive Market's biggest sale of the summer is officially on. For a limited time, go to thrivemarket.com/SWW to get 30% off your first order and an extra 25% off thousands of summer essentials, plus a free $60 gift just for signing up. That's thrivemarket.com/SWW to claim the offer before it's gone. thrivemarket.com/SWW.
In some of the recorded jailhouse calls, there are claims made by you that you had a child that was given up for adoption and that child passed away. Do you want to comment on that?
No.
Is there anybody that you can think of that would speak to me as like a character witness on your behalf?
I don't really think anybody would want to get involved. I think that it's pretty much been held that, you know, my aunt and my circle of influence, we understand what's been going on. We know the truth. But as far as trying to go out on a front, there's no point. You know, people are going to believe what they want to at this point. And kind of like what you said, some of it's, I think, old news at this point. And I think a lot of people just want away from it. you know, it's concerning me, so that's why I'm having the conversation. But, you know, as far as everyone else in my circle, you know, we look at it as November 15th when I walk out, I paid 99% of my debt to society. You know, I just got restitution and probation left, you know.
Got it. Are there any other people where you had pending charges where you paid them back before and it was, like, solved out of court?
I can't really think of solved out of court. I know Adam was sold. He had sued me, and I got him paid back. And that was a civil case. Yeah, I can't really think of any others.
I wonder if you've considered how you'd like to apologize to your victims.
I think it's been very hard because I feel attacked by almost everyone else. But the victims largely have stayed out of it, and I get that for legal reasons and whatnot, but to my knowledge, they did not show up at the hearings, and only one wrote a victim impact statement. Now that's not to minimize my involvement of my choices on their lives, but I think for the most part, you know, my victims just want paid back. I think they didn't really want to be dragged through the mud with all of this. Well, I understand I had to answer for my choices. I think that if I wasn't incarcerated, I could have gotten them paid back a lot sooner. I look forward to getting out and being able to pay them back, and then I think hopefully then we can all move on in some way.
So that is your intention?
Yes, it's also a court order that I have to pay them back. It's a stipulation of my probation, and I intend on doing that. And I think it speaks that, you know, I paid Adam back, and I believe that I've paid more to Caleb than what was stated on the court order. However, I have not had a second of free time to prove that. And that's one of my top priorities. I do believe that I had paid her back, or at least paid more than it stated, but I look forward to getting out and paying the restitution and hopefully, you know, starting to move on from this nightmare. I think that's what everybody wants. I made a lot of bad choices, not mistakes. I made choices, and I take responsibility for those. I really do. You know, I messed up and I messed up back. And for my mistakes, I've been incarcerated. I've been put in jail. You know, while I sit here and I write this, I own up to all the choices I made. I can only blame myself for what I did because no one forced me to do what I did. I brought it upon myself. And now I realize that I can go out and make better choices when I get out, and I can be a more productive citizen. All right. Thanks, Tiffany. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
During my investigation, I conducted interviews with Spice Girls Alex and Lainey and a few other off-the-record interviews to gather more evidence of Stoner's many alleged crimes. I spoke to Stoner on October 2nd about these interviews and about speaking to Indiana State Police.
Did you talk to Sergeant Marsland?
Yeah.
Did he give an interview?
We're in conversation. We're trying to get this case solved. It's not about interviews. It's about holding you accountable and getting justice for your victims. That's what this is ultimately about.
I hear you. I just wondered.
You know, Sergeant Maudlin's also super excited about looking into those extra charges as well.
But I think honestly, bigger than that is the impersonating Mike Pence and threatening people as him. And there's some very credible people.
So I'll keep you updated on that. But if you want to try and call me on Friday, I should be done with the majority of interviews by then.
Here's Hannah again.
I honestly think that there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. That's why I was so like, I must find more people. There's more. There's got to be more. People were coming out of the woodwork with major stuff. And what I know about being kind of an armchair detective is nobody starts with major stuff. You graduate to that. What were the little things that led to the bigger things? And that's kind of what I started looking for. Who's had any dealings with her? What has she said to you? What were her patterns? How does she hook someone in? There were all these different groups of people that she was playing a certain narrative to. She has multiple attack methods. She's really kind of brilliant in a way. Like evilly. I think there's a lot of stuff that we don't necessarily know the depths of still that are really, I think, kind of worse and more frightening. The Co-Signers Club was this car selling Facebook group.
I posted in there, hi, I'm looking for people who may have interacted with Megan Stoner in this group. She has been arrested for felony fraud, and I'm wondering if anyone was a victim of a scam by Megan Stoner. Someone named Jenny said I totally was, and this is the first time hearing of her horrible crap. I am in process calling Wells Fargo, where she wrote a check from a closed account for her appointment. I spoke with someone named Annabella. She messaged me and said, I'm just seeing posts about Megan Stoner. I don't know her, just interacted with her online. She's asking people to help with bail money on false charges. That made me look into her, and now I'm seeing all these posts about her. I didn't give her any money, but I'm concerned that others read her Twitter posts about being bullied and gave in and have been scammed. Thankfully, I decided to look into her a little further before I sent money. And I said, do you have screenshots of her asking that? And she said, yes, one second. And sent me, like, Megan was DMing with her on Twitter. Hi, I need help. I'm really struggling. And the lady said, what's going on? Sending you hugs. Who's this group of people bullying you, by the way? She said, I know this is going to sound weird and out of line, but could I borrow $500 for bail? It's a long story, but I'm facing charges for alleged corrupt business influence. Happy to speak over the phone. Annabella is telling me. Sent the number and she called. I looked up the number. It's registered to a Dennis Stoner. She states that she's being charged with corrupt business dealings over the phone. Says it's from 2006 and she doesn't know what it's about. She consulted an attorney. She needs to borrow $500 and after that she will need $1,100 more. When asked about the bail amount, she said she needed 8% and she didn't have access to her money at this time, but she would pay it back as soon as possible. Said she has a warrant for her arrest, but she's been in the hospital and that once she gets the bail money, she's going to surrender. When asked about an attorney, she stated that she would rather worry about that later because getting the money to make sure she doesn't have to sit in jail for a long time is more important. That's when I began to look her up on social media and all that truth came out. And I said, how did you first come to know her? And Annabella said, when she made a post online about being a teacher who was bullied by the kids and quit her job. I'm a college instructor part-time, nurse full-time. So I come across a lot of people online who are also educators. It's only been about 6 months, if that. Commented on her post saying sorry she went through that. The next thing I know, she inboxes me a link to an Amazon wish list for classroom supplies, but she never posted anything else about her new class. The post turned into speaking of SA and then an auto accident in which she had a huge hematoma and would message me for medical advice, and that was about it. Until yesterday when she posted about being bullied online and I replied to her post, which led to her asking me to borrow $500 for bail money. Literally while I was on the phone with her, I noticed a tweet replying to her post with a news article, so once we hung up, I looked into her. And I said, how did you find me? And she said, I searched her name on Facebook and saw you posted in a group asking about people being scammed by her, so took a chance and sent you a message. I'm not sending her anything. I'm thankful for the post exposing her because I almost fell for it. And I said, I think you should contact the prosecutor about your experience because it may help them in their case. I'll give you the phone number. And she said, okay, please pass it along and I'll call them and tell them what happened and send over screenshots. I don't want anyone else being taken advantage of. She has so many people commenting on that post from yesterday and I fear someone fell for it and sent money. This is from someone named Nichols. He said, hey, I saw your post. I never went all the way, but was coming to, and I said, oh, about Megan? And he said, yeah, we actually talked a lot. I was planning on sending her money. And I said, can you send me screenshots? She's walking him through a payment plan for a car. Hello, texting about your post. What kind of car are you wanting? We have Buicks and Teslas, but we can get anything mostly you want. And he tells her what he's looking for, and she tells him it's $1,000 down. At one point where he's like going back and forth asking questions, she gets snippy with him. They're messaging all the way up until April 13th, week before her arrest. And that's what I told him. I said she was arrested just a few days after that. I sent him the scammer group. August 2nd, I followed up with him again and said, I was wondering if you ever got around to filing a police report about Megan Stoner or if you've had any more interactions with her. And he said, I have not. I would really love a map of Megan Stoner crimes. because I believe that there were some people discovered in Europe to have been scammed.
How is it already time to start thinking about back to school shopping? As a working parent, I seriously just don't have the energy to run all over town trying to stock up on pantry staples, healthy snacks, lunchbox things. That's the number one thing I love about Thrive Market is that it saves me a trip to the store. I can shop from trusted brands like Primal Kitchen and Simple Mills. Thrive even bans over 1,000 ingredients that are still allowed in U.S. products, which gives a major peace of mind. I also love how quick their shipping is. Take care of your health and your wallet. Thrive Market's biggest sale of the summer is officially on. For a limited time, go to thrivemarket.com/SWW to get 30% off your first order and an extra 25% off thousands of summer essentials, plus a free $60 gift just for signing up. That's thrivemarket.com/SWW to claim the offer before it's gone. thrivemarket.com/SWW. At the end of our fifth call, I played Stoner the season's trailer, where she had little to no reaction. The trailer was available for early release on October 10th, 2024. Because of the trailer's release and the public attention on Stoner, I started to receive emails from former victims and others who had experiences with her. I spoke to Stoner again on October 14th, 2024, about my upcoming trip to meet with Indiana State Police and the allegations Hannah had shared with me.
Okay, these are like messages that were forwarded to us from another Facebook group member that they collected. So they're from different times. One, her name is Annabella. She had messaged them saying that you had reached out for $500 for bail and that you got on the phone and that you asked her for an additional $1,100.
But I don't know who, okay. I don't know who Annabella is, but...
I think it was just somebody from Twitter that you had connected with is what I gathered from the message. Okay. So not somebody you knew in real life. There was a Ginny who alleges she was a traditional massage therapist and that you wrote her a bad check on January 3rd, 2023 from a closed account. I think it was for like less than a few hundred dollars. The others is a gentleman named Nichols who alleged that you were going to rent him a car April of 2023. Were you attempting to rent your car out to get the payment money or something?
I don't think so. All right, thanks, Tiffany.
Bye-bye.
While on the airplane to Indiana, Stoner tried calling me 9 times in 5 hours. The next day, she called me again.
Yeah, I just want to make you aware of 2 things. One being that I... You know, but my Anderson City court case, the one that was a probation violation.
That one, I believe has been resolved, right? The only pendings that I know of are the Elwood.
I didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah. So the only ones I'm aware of at this point are the 2 driving on a suspended license, something about a fictitious license or license plate, and then a theft charge on, and those are all in Elwood, I believe, right?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that you are aware that the Anderson City court case got closed out. I caught the violation by catching the charge in Elwood. But I guess because I have been incarcerated so long, I guess they just decided to close out my court. I didn't even know they could do that. I got the letter last week. And I was completely shocked.
What brought the violation, or what was it allegedly for?
It was because of the theft charge in Elwood, because I caught the case in Elwood.
Got it. That's an automatic violation. Gotcha.
Yeah, but I never got to have the hearing on the violation because I never got to have the Elwood case yet. And I guess they just got tired of dealing with me and Anderson. I'm not really sure. I know you're meeting with Sergeant Mardelin.
My plan is to start with him and really, like, depending on his advice, going from there. Because I want to make sure that I, you know, at the forefront, I don't do anything to jeopardize their case. I'm only here to be a help. You can't make people do your jobs. You can't make people show up. So, you know, I have no idea how it's going to go. But so far, he's been the most responsive and kindest person I've interacted with. He seems like a very fair and kind person. So I think that's a good start. He's a supervising sergeant for the state police. So he's actually been on the force for like 30 plus years. He's one of the higher up dudes. That's always good to have people with integrity working on your case. I did want to tell you, though, my suggestion would be, from a legal standpoint, to stop calling people who tell you to stop calling them, like Alyssa.
Okay.
Because at a certain point, it falls under stalking and harassment. And given your track record, you got to be careful. So I would highly recommend that you respect that when people say that, especially when they're recording that on the jailhouse calls.
Okay. I appreciate that, Tiffany.
Throughout my week in Indiana, I had productive conversations with Indiana law enforcement who are still considering further charges. I also had the pleasure of meeting up with some of the Indiana locals like Alyssa, Chloe, Justin, and Vero. During this week, I also spoke with Spice Girl Lainey, heard from earlier in this episode, and conducted other off-the-record interviews. November 8th, 2024, my final day in Indiana, Stoner called me for the 11th time.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. I'm heading home soon. It's been a busy week, but it flew by.
Yeah, what can you share?
I really can't share a lot more at this point. A lot of the folks I connected with this week, it was either on background or a matter for the courts. One name that keeps coming up is Jake, a boyfriend that you had. Do you think he would be willing to speak with me?
No, he has completely fallen off the earth.
Okay. When did you guys, did you guys break up when you got arrested?
Yeah.
Got it.
He lost his job due to my associate of mine, and it was really an unfortunate situation. And unless he comes forward, I don't think he has anything of that, and I don't think he wants to be involved.
Okay, gotcha.
Here's Lainey.
Megan reached out to me and told me that her and the governor of Indiana were held hostage at gunpoint by her roommate at the time, who was never her roommate, Elizabeth. She was alleging that Elizabeth had also been raped by Brian Bosmer, and that's why Elizabeth did this.
When was this?
My messages are showing August 6th of 2018. I just found a message where she said she pointed a gun at me for an hour, and I was like, ... she held you hostage. And she said, yes, our rapist showed up. So yeah, I guess she was alleging that Bosma showed up at their house. She said Elizabeth got taken to the hospital. She had a psychotic break of some sort. And I was like, is everything okay? And she was like, Elizabeth held her and Brian Bosma hostage at gunpoint. Immediately, I thought, this didn't happen. Because if an Indiana representative was being held hostage at gunpoint, that would be national news. I was like, oh, I'm going to turn the news on. And she's like, oh, I don't think it's going to be on the news. And I was like, no, I think it will be. Like, that's a really big deal. She's like, no, they're trying to keep it quiet. If I remember correctly, it sounded to me like she was alleging, she said that Bosma has stalked her for months and that Bosma had now raped Elizabeth. And she made it sound like Bosma came to their house.
That Bosma had stalked Megan or Elizabeth?
Yes, both of them. I have a text message that says Bosma stalked me for months. She didn't say why in these messages, but I believe it was because of the article and because she was being outspoken about him raping her and that he was out to get her. I ended up getting Elizabeth's name, and we found her on Facebook and sent her a message and said, hey, girl, you don't know us, but we believe you know Megan Stoner. She is saying some really messed up stuff about you. Is there any way we can talk? We ended up talking, and I was like, look, she's saying that you had a psychotic break, that you held her at hostage at gunpoint, held Brian Bosma hostage at gunpoint. She's like, oh my God, like, of course that's not true. And I was like, well, that's what we knew. This was just too crazy to be true. And I understand that you work in politics, and we wanted to reach out to you before this became a story that was going around, you know? And I mean, this could like mess up your life. She said she knew Megan in passing because Elizabeth had actually worked at the Indiana House of Representatives. Megan apparently would come in and like volunteer, do little piddly stuff like that, because she wanted to be involved in politics so bad. And she was like, she always seemed a little bit off to me, but I don't really know her like that. I've never lived with her. I didn't know she did crazy stuff like this. Like, she was completely in the dark.
I didn't go to the police. I don't know if Elizabeth did.
One thing, we had two people come forward
that said around 2018 you had called them and told them that you and Brian Bosma were tied up at one point by a woman named Elizabeth, who was allegedly your roommate at the time?
No, that's not true.
So that never happened?
I never had a roommate named Elizabeth.
Well, I know that.
Yeah, no, I don't recall saying that at all.
Okay.
Or texting it or any format of communicating that.
You don't remember posting about it on the Facebook groups?
I don't believe so.
My last call with Stoner took place on November 13th, 2024, 2 days before her jail release and over a month into this season.
Hey, Tiffany, thanks for making time to talk.
Sure, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to see if you had any new leads or anything, or how it's going with the podcast.
No, nothing that I can think of, honestly.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to check before it gets crazy and I get out on Friday. Do you know what social media is saying about me by chance? Is it pretty active right now, or?
I don't go on there like I told you before.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
But certainly, I mean, there's discussion groups that are usually pretty active, like, regardless of the season, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Going forward, though, I don't think there's any need for us to really communicate. You know, at this point, we've kind of covered everything, and I know you've expressed you don't really want to comment further anyhow. But, yeah, I mean, you'll be able to hear the podcast yourself in a few days.
All right. Thanks, Tiffany. I appreciate it. Care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
On November 15th, 2024, Megan Stoner was released from Hamilton County Jail. Within hours, she was back to her old ways, messaging people on social media asking for money. Within hours, she was also texting me, despite me telling Megan multiple times we had nothing further to discuss if she wasn't going to comment further. There have also been multiple reports of Stoner and a few of her accomplices harassing victims and myself. Stoner even tried to propose that she start her own podcast to interview her victims to pay them back to a victim who has told Stoner repeatedly not to contact him since summer of 2023. Megan Elizabeth Stoner, are you absolutely delusional? Do you have no sense of the pain and the emotional turmoil that you have caused your victims and community? Have you no remorse about the resources you waste that could help real victims? Have you no respect for the death of children and your family, which you so recklessly use as a tool for your manipulation? Your attempts to attack and discredit your victims and the truth are baseless and remorseless. You play the victim in the chaos that you create. Also, FYI, it isn't very smart to harass your victims while on probation, especially when some of these victims are still involved in the state's ongoing investigation of you. At a certain point, one could argue witness intimidation is the goal. My team and I have spent 6+ months studying your bullshit, Megan. In my endless conversations with you, you never expressed genuine remorse or a sense of awareness of your impact on others. Your posts on social media since your release only confirm what your critics report. You're a parasite, a liar, a thief, and a joke. I'd like to say I hope you learn from your mistakes, but you never have before, and your attitudes and behavior since your release only underline everything I've thought to be true. You may think you're in the clear, but guess what, Megan? Through my investigation, I've found other victims, and they've connected with the state police. And you and I both know what's been covered on this season of the podcast is only scratching the surface of what you've done. And though this season may be wrapping up for now, just know we're still fighting for the victims, and we won't stop. Thank you so much for listening. Something Was Wrong is a Broken Cycle Media production, created and produced by me, Tiffany Reese. Thank you so much to our associate producers, Amy B. Chesler and Lily Rowe. Thank you to our audio engineer, Becca High, and our social media marketing manager, Lauren Barkman of Luxury Media. Additional thanks to our partners, Grant at Wondery, Marissa, Travis, and our team at WME, Jason and Jennifer at KSCO, our cybersecurity team, Darkbox Security, and my lawyer, Alan. and to all of you who make our show possible with your support and listenership. Special shout out to Neon Honey and Gabanez for covering our theme song, Glad Rag's original song, You Think You, this season. For more music from them, check out the episode notes or your favorite streaming app. In the episode notes, you'll always find content warnings, sources, and resources, with links to our websites and social media as well. Thank you so much to every survivor and ally who has trusted us to help share their stories. We are forever grateful. Until next time, stay safe, friends.